a local kid out of Point Loma High School in Montana. Jimmy Wilson, a four-year veteran, started 21 of 60 games for the Dolphins. He has signed a two-year contract. No terms of that deal announced, but veteran cornerback Jimmy Wilson, a hometown product from Point Loma High School, has just signed a two-year deal with the San Diego Chargers. Well, we're going to head out once again to the Corky's Hotline. Very happy to welcome to the program Elliot Harrison from the NFL Network, outstanding analyst, also online at NFLnow.com. Elliot, welcome, and thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm great, and I like the Jimmy Wilson signing myself. I think the Chargers need some bodies back there. You remember the Broncos playoff game 2 years ago that San Diego could have won there in Denver, and they were having all sorts of problems. I think getting a vet like that who's not, you know, not a 10-year veteran, still got a lot of tread on the tires. It's a low-impact signing, but you combine it with Brandon Flowers, I like it.
Hey, what did you think of the Orlando Franklin signing earlier this week, the former Denver offensive lineman?
You know, that's an interesting one. I tell you, I had a pretty good disagreement with some of my colleagues about what the Chargers' biggest need was, and everyone convinced me that it had to be the offensive line, and looking at the Chargers' line specifically, it's easy to point the finger to that, and I tell you, obviously Franklin's not a center. But you look at how many different offensive line formations Phillip Rivers had to play with last year. Didn't Phillip Rivers have five centers?
Correct.
Start at one time? I mean, can you imagine as a quarterback, you know, Rivers is up there. He's calling the offense from the line, and he's relying so much on his protection. And you just can't have different guys and mediocre guys starting in front of you all the time. I hope that is a position that San Diego hits in the draft hardcore, and I'm talking about early rounds.
You know, the thing that I've been saying, Elliot, for a long period of time, they need to beef up that defensive line, namely the nose tackle or defensive tackle position. They haven't had a dominating player at that position since Jamal Williams, and that's been a number of years now.
I thought you were going to say Louis Kelcher and Gary Big Hands Johnson, but I guess I was going back too far. I just mentioned that we had a disagreement about what the Chargers' biggest need was. I wanted them to beef up the front seven. That's exactly what I wanted. And, I reneged on that, but let me tell you, if they went out and they got a nose tackle early on, I would be all for it. The thing is, you know, nose tackle is really underrated. It is hard to find a guy like Jamal Williams. Those guys aren't growing on trees. You know, guys like Casey Hampton that used to play in Pittsburgh or Vince Wilfork, they're not just out there, you know, shopping at the Nike store. You just walk up and sign them. There are very few nose tackles that can impact a game. We saw a defensive tackle sign that could impact a game, Nick Fraley. He went down in St. Louis, But I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'd love to see San Diego go there as well in the draft.
You know, I was a little disappointed last night. I was on the air. And Terrence Knighton signed with the Washington Redskins, a one-year deal for $4 million. I thought he might have been a nice fit in San Diego.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Some guys can play in a 4-3 and a 3-4, but sometimes we get a little too caught up in that. I think Terrence Knighton could do both. But teams are mixing up their fronts so much now that it's hard to really marry a guy to a position, but you know, one of the words about Knighton was that he wasn't in shape. I didn't see it myself, but I can tell you he gave Denver a few good years, and that's kind of addition by subtraction. If you get a guy like Terrence Knighton, not only are you making your own front better, but that's your rival in your division that you're weakening.
We're visiting with Elliot Harrison on the Corky's Hotline. Elliot does an outstanding job with NFL Network as an analyst. He also has a program on the internet, NFLnow.com. Hey, where are you at right now with big Vince Wilfork? I know he's visiting Houston, probably going to sign in Houston. I haven't gotten the final word yet, but where do you think he's at in his career? He got another year, maybe two left?
I'm surprised he's not retiring. And I don't mean that as disrespect to Vince Wilfork, but it's just more that when you're 33 or 34 years old, how much more do you want to be playing on the nose? You know, you just won a Super Bowl. It's a great time to walk away, in my opinion. So do you really want to start over with a new team? I mean, isn't it kind of a shame in the salary cap era that we're in that guys like him can't just play their whole career with one team? I mean, wouldn't you hate to see Phillip Rivers in the day with somebody else? I really thought Wilfork was going to walk away. I hate to say you want to see a guy retire. Obviously, you want to see a guy be able to do what he wants to do, but I wish there were more guys that played one, you know, their whole career. Will Folks had a great career. He can hang it up right now and be at least a candidate for the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but at least be a candidate.
I think he probably will be a Hall of Famer with what he's been able to get done there in New England. I mean, and let's face it, I think that New England defense this year was one of the best defenses they probably had since about 2004.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's right when Wilfork came in. But, you know, Darrell Revis was a huge, huge part of that. And I understand why they let him sign with the Jets. You don't want to commit that kind of money. He was a mercenary for him this year. It worked out. It reminded me a lot of what the 49ers did 20 years ago with Deion Sanders, signing for 1 year and then ended up going to Dallas. You know, Wilfork's been a great player, and New England had a good defense this year. But I think next year they're going to have to do it a lot more on scheme and mixing up coverages because they're not going to have two major impact players. And Wilfork's been a leader for that team, you know, a locker room guy. Those are always hard to replace.
Dallas today signs the free agent from the Raiders, Darren McFadden, after losing DeMarco Murray yesterday. And I would certainly think with that great offensive line in Dallas, and they're awful good, if McFadden's ever going to do anything really of substance in his NFL career, it's probably going to be behind this offensive line.
I agree with you totally. You know, hey, Jerry Jones got his razor back. I joke that Felix Jones and Matt Jones are still out there. I guess Peyton Hillis is too. But, you know, Darren McFadden, I was just saying this, you know, that he and Adrian Peterson came in the league at the same time. And he's got a lot less mileage because he's been hurt than Adrian Peterson does when you look at the carries. So if McFadden can stay healthy, it's a low-risk deal. You got to like it. Now, I was kind of hoping Dallas would at least give Stephen Ridley a look. But, you know, I'm fine with McFadden signing. If you miss, it's really no harm, no foul. This isn't the kind of deal where they committed a ton of money. So I think it was a good swing.
There for a while, Chip Kelly was public enemy number one in Philadelphia after letting LeSean McCoy go in a trade to Buffalo. Now everybody's patting him on the back.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't wear their arms out patting him on the back too much, you know, because let's see if these guys play a full slate of games. You know, we need to see if Sam Bradford can. And I hate to call a guy injury prone. I think it's just been bad luck for Sam Bradford. But still, you've got some guys. I mean, I don't need to tell you about Ryan Matthews. I mean, they're in San Diego. I mean, trying to get him to play a full slate of games would be nice. Every guy they got, I mean, between Murray, between Alonzo, between Bradford, they've all had injury problems in the past. And then they've been trying to, you know, they were trying to move Evan Mathis, who's been one of their best players. So I'm a little hesitant on them. And let's not forget that Jeremy Maclin just signed in Kansas City. Who's going to be catching the football in Philadelphia? They got Jordan Matthews, pretty good rookie last year, but I don't think he's ready to be a number one. Riley Cooper I don't think scares anybody. So I guess Zach Ertz, their tight end, is going to have to be the big dog there. But I'm a little concerned for that offense.
What did you think about the signing of Ndamukong Suh with the Miami Dolphins, the number of years and the money and guaranteed money?
I thought it was too much. You know, I don't believe in investing that kind of money in that position. It doesn't mean that he's not worth it. Doesn't mean that he won't help them a great deal. But I just hate having that much of your salary invested or your future funds invested in that position. Now, if Miami can impose its will, you know, in games, then it was worth it. I mean, you mentioned Dallas. Great example. I mean, Dallas showed the thing that we've all seen for the entire time we've been watching football, that if you dominate up front, you can win any game, irrespective of who else you have on the team. And I think that's what Miami's trying to do with the defensive line. The thing is what Dallas had last year is they had a quarterback that made big-time plays and led the league in passing. Miami needs Ryan Tannehill to make that next step. You know, right now Ryan Tannehill is a middle-of-the-road quarterback, and I know you're asking me about Sue, but it can't all be about Sue. I mean, Tannehill at some point needs to live up to the billing or at least take another step forward. He's pretty decent right now, but he's got to get really good.
We're visiting with Elliot Harrison from the NFL Network here on the Corky's Hotline. You know, I look at the Raiders. They're trying hard. I know they were devastated. They wanted to really throw a lot of money at DeMarco Murray, but DeMarco Murray was set on taking that plane flight down to Philadelphia and eventually, you know, decided to sign there. The Raiders still got a ton of money they'd like to spend.
Well, you're just as bad with your geography as I am, man. Taking the plane down to Philadelphia. You guys say things like that all the time. I get called on it. Yeah, you know, the Raiders are interesting. You thought that they might make a move towards Murray or maybe even Julius Thomas, some of these other guys. Here's the thing about Oakland. Per the agreement, the players and the owners, teams have to spend a minimum amount of money every 4 years, and Oakland is way behind. Oakland literally has to spend money. They have to. And it's not really happened yet to the degree that people want it to, and you just keep kind of waiting, like, when are they going to sign that big guy? If you look at most of their signings, it's a bunch of players that you just can't get that excited about. At some point, the Raiders are going to have to overpay somebody. That's just the long and the short of it. They're going to have to overpay somebody because they've got to spend the money. But right now, who's out there? Who's out there? There's not really any big names out there. You know, Nick Fairley was one of the last big names out there. And, you know, obviously he went to St. Louis. But I feel for the Raider fans. I really do. I feel for the Raider fans.
Hey, Elliot, last question. You know, I brought this up yesterday on the talk show, and we saw a lot of really good football players announce their retirement this week. I mean, Jake Locker hung it up. Jason Worlds, the linebacker from the Steelers, hangs it up at 27. Patrick Cortland Willis Finnegan, coming off toe surgery, he hangs it up. And even Cortland Finnegan hung it up this week.
So are you asking me to prognosticate who's next?
No, not, but I think this is going to become a little bit more of a trend. These guys are making so much money earlier in their career, and they want to be able to walk away and be able to enjoy it, I think.
I agree, and I don't have any problem with it at all. I applaud the decision. Different reasons for all those guys, but, you know, Jake Locker to me is the one that was the most interesting. I don't blame him. You know, you're 26 going on 27. You've been beat up, you know. You've been beat up. You've made a nice amount of money. If you've got a house and you put some of that money away and you think there's other things you can do with your life and you want to be happy, why not? Why not? Because, you know, really, the only people that are concerned with legacy are the fans. You know, when people all bashed Michael Jordan for playing with the Wizards about his legacy, if somebody wants to play, I say let him play. Let Emmett go play with the Cardinals if that's what he wants to do. You know, so to speak. And if a guy wants to hang it up, then that's his right. And I applaud Jake Locker's decision and Jason Worlds and Cortland Finnegan. Listen, the game beats you up, and to have your health is, it's hard to put a price tag on having your health going forward.
Especially when you see some of these old veteran football players come by training camp and walk through the locker room from time to time, and they can't walk a straight line at 45 or 50 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to see, but, you know, that's, it's part of the game. That's part of all sports. But, you know, at the same time, the NFL has been great for a lot of these players as well. I think just for a guy like Jake Locker, he said it, his heart wasn't in it. And if your heart's not in it, you just can't get beat up. You don't want to get beat up like that anymore, not if you don't have passion for what you're doing.
Hey, Elliot, thanks so much for the time. Really respect your work on the air, and thanks for coming on today.
No worries. No worries. Take care.
All right. There you go. Elliot Harrison joining us on the Corky's Hotline, NFL Network analyst, and also online at NFLnow.com. We'll